Welcome to the Film and the Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:34 British Summer Time. Today is August 17th. Well, a generally firm tone right across stock markets today. The Dow Jones finished out the day just up just over 1%. The S&P up 1.2%. Nasdaq up 1.25%. The Canadian market was up 1.5%. Brazil up 1.3%, which is back above the 67,500 level, but back above the 200-day moving average. Most markets in Europe finished up over 1%. The French market was probably the best performer, up 1.8%. The Nikkei has been rather interesting over the last couple of days because it's been down just about every day, but it's closing well off its lows. So you've got white candles, but it's been down on its day, down on the day for the last three sessions. It's at really rather depressed levels, and the TOPIX is trading at its book value. So we really are at really quite depressed levels for Japanese markets, and it's at least in part due to the strength of the yen. Now, the yen was a tiny bit weaker in here today, but it's still in the region of the 85.5 yen to the dollar, and really does need to push well above that level to break the short-term downtrend and indeed break the medium-term progression of lower rally highs. Back above 90 would really start to prove to be a catalyst for the export sector in Japan. But I think if we were to see a significant rally of the dollar against the yen, then that would act as a catalyst for Japanese stocks, and they really are at quite depressed levels with the TOPIX book value at one. The Chinese market was also a little bit steadier in here today, and the Hang Seng was up just marginally. The Australian market was up 0.8 of 1%. I'm not entirely sure what time that BHP and Potash announcement was made, but BHP was a little bit weaker in here today in London, so that might feed through into the Australian market tomorrow, where BHP has a rather large weighting. In the commodity markets, the industrial metals were universally firm in here today. Copper is back above the 330 cent level. It was up 5 cents in here today. Nickel was also stronger, and tin, which has been the leader throughout, was also quite a bit firmer in here today. So we continue to see that these industrial metals are they had probably got a little bit ahead of themselves in July, and they pulled back in the first 10 days of August, but they've been finding support, and tin has pushed on to a new recovery high today, so that has been the leader throughout. That's really quite positive action. The oil market, which has fallen from the region of $83 about 10 days ago, is back testing the $75 level. And it's become a little bit overstretched, and 75 being a psychological level, it wouldn't be at all surprising, I think, if we were to see oil beginning to find support in this area. And with a firmer tone on stock markets and some of the deflationary hyperbole beginning to seep out, I think there's room for oil to begin to rally from these areas. I initiated a long in here today. I'll write it up tomorrow. The US Treasury bought 2.5 billion worth of US Treasuries in here today, and the price was weaker by just under a full point. Now, that hasn't come close to countermanding the massive upward dynamic that we saw on US Treasuries, the long bond, yesterday. And the commonality that we see right across the bond markets extends through the US into Europe and across to Japan, and they are all overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages. They have all accelerated, and yields are back to levels that haven't been seen since late 2008 and early 2009. And I think it's not too much of a step to argue that the world really is a very different place today than it was then. We are seeing that growth is beginning to recover, particularly in some of the Asian and Latin American countries that are doing very well indeed, and they're their problems are much more concerned with containing inflationary pressures and how they're going to manage their economic growth rather than the US and Eurocentric view that has been expounded by so many analysts that we're going to have a global deflation, and there's just no evidence that that's going to happen. The worst case scenario is that the US could slip briefly back into a recession, but that's unlikely to be global in its nature, and we know what the Fed will do if that occurs. They will open the spigot once more, and we'll get plenty more quantitative easing. So it's the US Treasuries have rallied to an extraordinary level at this point, and if we're not going to have a massive deflationary scare on a global basis, then the reason for holding such large quantities of sovereign debt at such remarkably low yields beyond momentum trading is I think really quite questionable. Elsewhere in the commodity sector, wheat was a bit weaker in here again today. It's been the leader throughout. So the fact that the leader is beginning to lose its uptrend consistency is a bit of a warning shot for some of the other grains. It will of the grains in particular are very weather driven. So with the drought in Russia beginning to ease back, that could have a knock-on effect for some of the related grains, particularly wheat and barley. However, soybeans and corn in particular is much more US focused, and yields are expected to come in a bit lower, and both corn and soybeans were a bit stronger in here today. Soybeans up by 10 and corn up by 7. So to the extent that wheat is a leader, that is certainly a warning shot, but I think we do still need to look at these on their own individual merits. And both wheat and soybeans are up at the upper sides of these year-long and perhaps even 18-month-long consolidations. And while a little bit overextended in the short term, there's nothing that's happened to them just yet to really question potential that they might be able to break to the upside. So it's all to play for in here. The lumber market was also stronger by $8.70, and the lumber was really quite an interesting industrial commodity because it had performed really quite well when it broke its I think it's 7 year progression of lower highs and rallied to almost $350, but it pulled back to 200 and it's been ranging there for much of the last few months and in a support building phase, and it's looking increasingly like a type 2 bottom, and it looks to be only a matter of time before we see a breakout from this range that's been finding support continually in the region of the two the sorry the $200 level. So when we go take a step back and look at the bigger picture, we've certainly had a scare and stock markets pulled back really quite sharply. But they are beginning to find support. They've held the majority of their gains that they posted in July, and certainly one swallow does not a summer make. And today's positive action is welcome from the perspective of the bulls, but if this is the beginning of these markets beginning to find support, then that's really quite positive action indeed, and it really does then further bolster the fact that these government bonds are really quite overextended. And when you have stock markets performing reasonably well and industrial commodities all outperforming at this stage, then that's really quite positive from the perspective of the global economy when it's backed up by the outperformance of the growth centers of the world in Asia and Latin America. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening. I wish all the best to all of you.